I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today, I am joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. Today, we've got editor Felicity.
Hello.
Features editor Ben.
Howdy.
And assistant editor of the Week Junior's monthly science and nature magazine, Kieran.
Hello.
This week, we'll be talking about some good news for the world's loneliest elephant, a new hygiene campaign, and a day of celebrations for author Roald Dahl. Plus, we'll have a debate all about whether we really need punctuation. Okay. But before all of that, seeing as we'll be talking about Roald Dahl, what is everyone's favourite book of his? Felicity, you can go first.
I'm not the biggest Roald Dahl fan, I'm sorry to say, but I think I would go for The Witches just because it's the one that stands out the most to me and which I remember quite vividly from reading it as a child and finding it absolutely terrifying. But overall, I do find his stories a bit weird and dark and twisted and scary for my liking.
Okay, well, Felicity, that might be the most controversial opinion you've ever had, but I appreciate that you've put it out there. Ben, how about you?
Well, I love them because they're weird, twisted and scary. I think my favourite is Fantastic Mr. Fox, just because it was the first one that I really fell in love with. And I loved the idea of these animals working together to get revenge against the evil humans and then being all cosy with their feast underground. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, that is a good book, actually. And Kieran, how about you?
I've picked The Twits because I remember, again, slightly being grossed out by them, but also just enjoying the pranks that they played on each other. And I remember getting given a version of it that had been translated into Scots that was called The Egits. And that's one of my favourite words. So, yeah, The Twits.
My main memory of The Twits is about the Mr. Twit having lots of food stuck in his beard. That is my main callback, I think.
Yeah.
This was a tricky one for me. I genuinely found this quite tough because, unlike Felicity, I did quite like Roald Dahl. And it was a toss-up between Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Matilda. But I've gone for Matilda because when I was little, I wanted to be her and kind of hoped I could move stuff with my mind. And it turns out, sadly, spoiler alert, I cannot. So that was pretty disappointing. Anyway, we also need to find out what is everyone's favourite fact from this week. Felicity, you can go first.
I learned that on the 14th of September 1959, the Luna 2 spacecraft landed on the moon, and this was the first man-made object ever to land on the moon. So that was 1959, if you ever get asked in a quiz.
That's great, and that was a long time before Neil Armstrong went on the moon.
It really, really was. Yeah, I was quite surprised.
Ben, how about you?
My fact is also to do with space. I discovered a year on Mars is nearly twice as long as a year on Earth, which that would mean your school year would be much longer, but you would also have double the number of Week Junior shows and Week Junior magazines to read through that year. So swings and roundabouts.
I love that you can find an upside from time literally getting longer and longer. Like, you're like, yeah, but more Week Junior in your life. That is a man who is on brand. Kieran, how about you?
I learned this week that in the Bronze Age, people would turn their dead relatives' bones into ornaments or musical instruments that they would then hang up around their home. Quite nice.
I mean, like, yeah, you say nice, but can you imagine...
Heartwarming.
Looking up at your Christmas tree. I mean, I guess they didn't have Christmas trees then, but looking up at, like, your mantelpiece... Did they have mantelpiece? I'm confused. Just looking up and seeing a bone from your... granny. That's a bit dark. I mean, talk about Roald Dahl being dark. Isn't that pretty dark?
Well, I suppose so. Although the researcher who released the study said, you know, it's comparable to people having urns of their dead relatives' ashes now that they might put up on their mantelpiece. So, possibly.
Time for Real or Rubbish. Kieran, what is the story this week?
This week's story is about a guy in Ireland who has found his dog's brother while looking at photos of other people's dogs on social media. So let me sort of explain this a little bit. So it was National Dog Day recently, and people took that opportunity to share pictures of their dogs online. And Paddy Logue put up some photos of his pointer cross called Fenton. And it looked very similar to a dog called Toby, who was owned by Connor O'Malley. And so O'Malley decided to send a message to Logue to say, our dogs look very, very similar. This is all a bit odd. I think they might be long-lost brothers. And then it turned out that they were actually brothers, and they had come from the same litter of dogs. And this was checked by Dogs Trust Ireland, who adopted the dogs out. And yeah, so this guy has found his dog's brother by complete chance on social media on National Dog Day. So do you think the story is real, or is it a perfect lie?
I mean, the fact this happened on National Dog Day seems a bit too good to be true. That seems a little bit on the nose for my liking. I need to think about this one before I get myself in any hot water here. It seems ridiculous, but how do they check? They just check where you've got the dog from, and then you check that it was from the same litter, right?
Yeah, well, I think in this, if this particular case is true, then it would be that because they were adopted from a charity, the charity would have some sort of record. But you're right, in sort of if you walk past a dog in real life, quite difficult to know exactly who its mum or dad is.
It's not like they have the same markings or anything like that. Right, this seems a little bit of a... I don't trust this one. I'm going to have to think about this. Felicity, tell me, what story do you have for me?
The story I'm bringing to the podcast is our main homies story, and it's all about National Hygiene Week, which kicks off on Monday. And I wasn't aware that this was going on, and I'm not sure readers will have been either, but it's been set up by a charity, and the whole aim is to raise awareness of hygiene poverty. And hygiene poverty is when people don't have enough money to buy essential items that keep us all clean and healthy. So this could be toothbrushes or soap or washing powder or nappies or whatever it is, these things that we sort of take for granted. So it's kind of shining a light on that and coming up with ways that people can understand the problem and get involved by letting other people know about the problem, donating items. So lots of branches of Boots, you can drop off products there, which will then be donated to people who most need them. Or our readers are so good at coming up with like ingenious solutions for all sorts of great fundraising activities that they could do a sponsored walk or a sponsored cake sale and raise money. And it's just a really, really important issue, especially at the moment with coronavirus, when we should all be thinking loads about washing our hands and being as hygienic as possible. And sort of thinking about it's not just the not being able to keep clean that it's important. It's also the idea that, you know, think about how you would feel if you couldn't wash properly or brush your teeth. You'd probably start having worse like mental health and like losing your confidence and not wanting to see your friends. So I think it's a great story and it's a really great campaign, and I really hope readers, you know, find out more about it, basically.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because you think of donating things, you think of donating to food banks, because obviously food is really important, but you don't think about soap and keeping clean and hygienic, really, do you?
I think a lot of us in this country are lucky enough to just assume that, you know, everyone has access to these basic products, and actually the reality of the situation is very different, and for some people they don't have these basic items. So yeah, it's definitely one that got me thinking.
And there's lots of tips in the magazine this week to find out how we can help other people.
There is indeed.
Excellent stuff. Ben, tell me, what story have you been finding out about?
I want to talk about Roald Dahl Story Day, which is celebrated each year on the 13th of September. It used to just be called Roald Dahl Day, but they've added the word story in to help people focus on the most important part of Roald Dahl, which are the amazing stories and characters that he created. Now, as I said, I've always loved Roald Dahl's stories, and coincidentally, like me, he was also born and bred in Cardiff, so there are various bits of Roald Dahl history where I grew up. So there's the place that was the sweet shop that inspired Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and things like that. So I love the fact that people can still get involved in his stories, even though this year there are not big events that you can go to. So this year the Roald Dahl Story Company has a party pack that you can download, and you can use that to find ways to celebrate the day. They've got a thing about how to make homemade invisible ink and create magic words, and you can recreate recipes of the witch's potions. But an important part of it as well is fundraising. There's a charity called the Roald Dahl Marvelous Children's Charity that supports young people with serious long-term health problems. And within the party packs, there are ideas for how you can raise money to help those people and come together and share those stories, because stories bring people together. Roald Dahl is one of our greatest, one of the world's greatest storytellers, despite what Felicity might say. And these stories will live forever. And you don't have to just celebrate them on the 13th of September, but I think you should. And I also think you should raise some money and help people who have got problems at the same time.
I think it's a very Roald Dahl thing, isn't it? Because a lot of his stories were all about kind of like good overcoming evil, if you think about it, and helping other people. So I'm sure charity work and helping disadvantaged kids would be exactly what he would want from his stories.
Absolutely. There's his books are packed with young people who have to overcome problems. I mean, look at the things that Charlie faces before he ends up at Willy Wonka's factory. Look at the things that Matilda had to go through. So the story is all about children who are suffering in some way. So the fact that we can still help those people, even without magic and crazy things happening, but just good old-fashioned kindness.
And we can have lots of Roald Dahl reading celebrations in our own home as well, which is just a lovely chance to reread Matilda for me, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just keep reading these stories. I still find little things that I'd forgotten about or hadn't noticed before or just didn't really kind of resonate with me right at that time. They're books that people can go back to forever. And one that doesn't get talked about as much is Boy. And I remember reading Boy when I was about 9 or 10 and realizing he's talking about streets that I would go on and things like that back in Cardiff. So I felt a very strong connection at that point.
Oh, good recommendation. I've never read that one, so thanks, Ben. Next up, Kieran, tell me, what have you been finding out about?
My story this week starts off a little bit sad, but I will spoil the ending and say that it's got a happy ending that we can come to. So it's about an elephant who is described as the world's loneliest elephant, and he's called Kavan, and he lives currently in a zoo in Islamabad, which is the capital of Pakistan. And he arrived in Pakistan in 1985. He was a gift from Sri Lanka. And since 1990, he has been at this zoo. And to begin with, it was all going well. He had a partner that he lived with. But unfortunately, his partner died in 2012. And since then, he's been living by himself in an enclosure that perhaps isn't of the greatest standards. And earlier this year, in May, the zoo was finally closed down because the animals that were there weren't being treated properly, unfortunately. And so an animal organisation called Four Paws came in and has been tasked with finding new homes for all the animals that live there. So they've been working their way through all the animals, and on the 4th of September, they came to Kavan and decided to see how he was doing and whether he was healthy enough to move to a different location. And unfortunately, because he'd been by himself, he had not had a great diet. He hadn't exercised because he was sort of feeling a bit sorry for himself. And because he'd lost his partner and had then been alone, and of course elephants are social animals, he had developed mental health problems as well. He'd become incredibly bored without having a partner to interact with. He would just spend hours swinging his head and trunk back and forth just to pass the time. And so the vets were really worried that he just wouldn't be up to moving because he was in such a poor state. However, the good news that we've now got is that Kavan has been approved to travel somewhere else. He's in good overall health. He's ready to go. And so the plans are for him to move to Cambodia, which is another Asian country. And he will join an elephant sanctuary there where he'll be a bit better off. He'll be happier. He'll be able to interact with other elephants. And hopefully he'll have a healthy rest of his life.
The thought of a sad elephant makes me very sad as well. I didn't know they could get kind of lonely and a bit like down. So that's really nice that somebody has kind of rescued the elephant and now he's going to have some pals.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that's the thing with elephants. They have so many social rituals like humans. So, you know, if one of their herd does die, they will mourn, or they appear to mourn, the loss of their friend or their family member. So I imagine it was very difficult for Kavan to go through all of that by himself. So yeah, it was a really nice, positive story that's got a happy ending.
All right, well, three big stories from this week. Thanks so much, guys. Now it's time for our big debate. This week, we're asking whether punctuation is important. Who can tell me a bit more?
That would be me. So yes, as you said, this debate is all about punctuation marks. So that is things like full stops and commas and question marks and all the little symbols that we add to our written sentences and phrases to make sure they make sense, basically. If there's a question, you need a question mark. If it's an exclamation, you're going to put an exclamation mark. And if you want to signal that something is being spoken, you would put it in quotation marks. But some experts say that the way we're using punctuation is now changing, and that people are using fewer full stops. So you might see that more in text messages or on social media. And other people have started to add new meaning to full stops. So they say that if you send a text message with a full stop on the end, it sort of sounds like you're being a bit grumpy or angry. So basically, the world of punctuation is changing, and we want to know whether readers think punctuation is important or not.
I'm sure a lot of teachers will have an opinion on this, but today I want to know what Kieran and Ben think. So I'm going to challenge Kieran first to say why punctuation is important. Kieran, do you have a timer nearby?
I do.
All right, when you're ready, take it away.
Punctuation is, without a doubt, one of the most important elements of making yourself understood. So take this, for example. If I said, "Oh, it's time to eat, Bex," with a comma before the Bex, then Bex would probably go, "Great, it's time to eat." However, if I said, "It's time to eat, Bex," with no comma, then that would be, I mean, if someone took me up my words, it would mean that Bex has been eaten and suddenly we don't have a presenter for the rest of the podcast. So punctuation allows us to clarify exactly what we mean by something. But they do more than that. Punctuation is a way of adding drama to a sentence. It's a way of adding humor. If you put in an exclamation mark, it's this beacon that there's a joke or that someone isn't being quite serious. If you've got a question mark, it draws your eye to the fact that we need to get an answer to that question. And commas give readers time to pause or to receive extra information mid-sentence that allows them to better understand what's being said. Without these marks, words would just flow into each other. So I say punctuation more like functuation. That was a minute and a second, but I stand by it.
I'll give you that because any debate that uses me as an example, I automatically am even more all ears than I was before. So Ben, you've got quite a challenge ahead of you. Are you ready?
Oh, I certainly am.
All right, whenever you're ready, take it away.
Well, it's interesting that Kieran is so keen on rules, yet he just broke the rules of timings. I think what Grandpa Kieran is forgetting is that language changes constantly. Language should evolve for humans and suit our needs. We shouldn't have to change to suit its needs. If people nowadays are finding ending messages with full stops sounding aggressive and grumpy, then we need to forget about that. Skilled writers can get their points across without punctuation. Kieran no doubt loves to fill his stories with exclamation marks, but we don't all need to do it. We don't need punctuation when we're talking. We can still convey exactly what we mean. And punctuation can be confusing for a lot of people. There are lots of complicated rules. And if they are used incorrectly, it causes more problems than if there was no punctuation whatsoever. Punctuation is different in different languages. It can confuse people if you're coming from a different language and you're trying to learn another one. Most punctuation is unnecessary. We just need to communicate better rather than rely on those rules.
Oh, and I love the fact you made sure you were at a minute just so you couldn't be called out for doing what Kieran did. Great arguments there. Felicity, what do you think?
Well, as editor of the magazine, I can tell you that the magazine would be absolute nonsense if we didn't have punctuation. It would be incredibly hard to read any of our articles. So I'm going to say punctuation is 100% necessary and important. And I feel like if I didn't say that, I'd probably lose my job. So there you go.
I have to say, I do. I know what Ben means about words and language evolving, but punctuation, I feel like it's important as well because you get a real feel for what a sentence means by having it when you're reading stuff that you've written down. So listeners, let us know what you think. Maybe you disagree with me and Felicity. Maybe you agree with Ben. Go respond right now to the poll at theweekjunior.co.uk/poll or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk with a video clip explaining which side of the debate you support and why, and we might play it out on next week's show. Now, last week we debated on the podcast whether it's good to be bored sometimes, and about 2/3 of you, that is 64%, said no, while 36% said boredom could be a good thing. Here's what some of you had to say.
So somebody on Pop Jam wrote, "It depends. For some people, being bored makes their imagination expand and they come up with amazing ideas. However, for other people, being bored makes them fidget and get distracted, and possibly it will encourage them to be naughty. So I guess it depends on who you are."
Another user commented, I think it's good to be bored because it's when I get my best drawing and cooking ideas. However, sometimes I don't like being bored when my drawing books are full. Someone else added, if you are bored, you will be tempted into playing imaginary games. So yes.
A lot of people were on the fence, though. One person wrote, it is 50-50 for me. Sometimes it's good. I read The Week Junior, dance, etc. But sometimes I can't think of anything and just sit there. Someone else added, it's not good to be bored, but it does sometimes inspire you to try new things.
So we are getting an insight into the world of The Week Junior readers there. I love it. Remember, this is your chance to get involved. Grab a grown-up, record a video telling us what you think of this week's debate and send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we could play it out on next week's show. Now it's time for the recap of our real or rubbish story. Kieran, can you remind me what it is again?
Yes, this is the story of a guy in Ireland who found his dog's brother by looking at photos of dogs that had been posted on social media to celebrate National Dog Day.
Now, I'm tempted to say this is a shaggy dog story, but I think, I feel like... Oh man, I'm really stuck with this one because it seems like one of the stories you hear about and you're like, oh, okay, that is real. I'm gonna say it's real.
So,
yeah,
so you think someone saw a picture online of a dog that looked like their dog and it turned out to be that dog's brother? Yeah, I just want to clarify, this is what you believe, yes?
Oh, I don't know if you're double bluffing me or not. Because yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, Ben. That's where I'm going with this, even though I feel like it's as you've explained it, it seems ridiculous. But I'm a big believer in going with your gut instinct, even if your gut instinct is terribly wrong. Yeah, I'm gonna say it's real. That's my plan. It's a dog's brother. Yeah, that's it.
Drum roll.
Okay, let's have a drum roll, please. It's real! Hooray!
Yes! Ben trying to psych me out there.
Absolutely.
So
do you know what? I saw this story and I work with Felicity on us to kind of, we choose what is going to go on that page. And when I was choosing that as the real or rubbish, I thought this one is going to absolutely bamboozle Bex. She is not going to know what to think about this. And that was even before I knew you didn't know that dogs could have brothers.
I mean, first of all, I'm flattered that you consider me when you're planning the real or rubbish. That's good to know.
I genuinely do.
I think I'm probably a bit of a wild card, but that was a really tough one. That was genuinely quite tricky. But I'm just delighted to learn that dogs can have brothers and sisters. It will make my dog's family tree a lot more interesting. So thank you so much, guys, for that story. That's blowing my mind a little bit. I need to go and sit down and think about it. That's it for the Week Junior show this week. So goodbye to Felicity.
Goodbye.
To Ben.
Bye-bye.
And Kieran.
Goodbye.
Drop us a comment on PopJam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk if you want to get in touch. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get your podcast from. Bye!
If you want to get your hands on a copy of The Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/TheWeekJunior and use the code PODCAST.